Good morning. We are continuing this series, The Life of a Disciple. Once again, I say this, it is good that we are reminded from time to time what a disciple is and what they are called to do. There are so many that proclaim to be disciples, yet when trials, when hardships come about, they step away. They step and reject Christ. We know that the life of a disciple is not an easy one. We can see throughout Scripture. There will be times that we find ourselves struggling with many things, whether it's hardships, trials. But it's so important. A true disciple will stand firm in those times. A true disciple will lean on God and trust in Him and His power. If it were easy to be a disciple, don't you think everyone would be doing it? Don't you think everyone would make it a priority to live for God, to love God, and to do as they have been commanded? It is difficult, but it's very rewarding. And we need to understand that, because the life of a disciple, their love for the Lord burns forever. It burns bright for the Lord. Nothing else matters. Christ is the center. Christ is their main priority in this life, to please Him, to live for Him each and every day. As we look at our main text that was read this morning in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And so the questions that we need to ask, who do we love more? If you proclaim to be a disciple, who do you love more? Or what do you love more? Is Christ your first and only true love? That's a question that many need to answer. Because if you can't answer yes, then you need to rethink your priorities. You need to rethink your life. Because if we proclaim and hold to the title disciple, Christian, follower of Christ, then we need to back it up with action, not just with words. Because as we see here, it seems harsh. Christ is saying, if you love mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love son and daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. From a worldly perspective, a worldly standpoint, sure, that seems harsh. But Christ is not calling them here to hate their mother or father. He's not calling them to hate their sons or daughters. No. What's he saying here? I need to be your one and only priority. I need to be the center of your life. Because you can't truly love anyone without first loving God. You do not know what true godly love looks like. Without God in the picture, there is no true love. So many will put other things in their life as more important, whether it's work, whether it's sports, hobbies, whatever it may be, whether it is boyfriend, girlfriend, husband or wife, sons or daughters. We need to understand what Christ is saying here. He is and should be the center of our life. In Revelation 2, what we have are the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Only two are faithful. And of course, we see with verses 4 through 5, John writes to the church in Ephesus. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Up to this point, Ephesus has been doing well. They have done a lot of things right. They have cast off the Nicolaitans and their false doctrine. They have tested whether someone was a true apostle or whether they are in a false apostle. But he does have this against him. Christ has this against them, that they have left their first love. What is this first love? Commentators, scholars have debated this. Well, when we go back to the time when Christ was walking the earth, scribes come to him looking to trip him up. And they ask, what is the greatest commandment? And Christ answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength, with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as thyself. So when I look at this, the first love that they have left is God. The love they have left is for God and man. Once again, when we see Paul write to the Ephesians, he talks about how important unity is within the church. Once again, there is no unity unless Christ is the center of the church there in Ephesus. And so this first love here, we see is for God and man. If we do not love God, if he is not our first love, how can we love man? How can we love our brethren? How can we love the lost? We can't. Because the world teaches us to be selfish, to worry about what we need, what we want. That's what the world teaches. It's all about me. Now, there are many great people who do great things for others. There are. But at the same time, that first love is not there for God. God is not the center of their life. In John chapter 14, verses 19 through 21, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Once again, Christ here. Who are his? Who are those who truly love him? It's those who keep his commandments, who do not go beyond his commandments, what have been commanded to them. And he reiterates that same thing in John chapter 15, verses 9 to 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. How do we do that? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Once again, if we truly love God, and it's so easy to profess that we love God, but where is the action? Where is the proof of that love for God? Actions speak louder than words. They really do. You say you love your husband or your wife, is that enough? Or should you show it? Well, obviously you should show it. Once again, so many go beyond what God's word says. I've had so many Christians try to take me down rabbit holes with many topics, whatever it may be. But once again, I stick to what Scripture says on the matter. It's so easy to go beyond God's word, to allow our emotions to run us. But once again, if Christ is the center of our life, we won't do that. We will remain steadfast in his word. We will remain faithful. And so, once again, who do you love more? What do you love more? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves, because just simply coming on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights, and sitting in a pew does not show your love in God. There's more to it. There's way more to it. There's more to having a relationship with God than just singing hymns. There's more to loving God than just going out and visiting people. Once again, are we ourselves spiritually mature? Are we ourselves spiritually secured? Have we been living faithfully, or do we have secrets that, of course, none of us will know about, but God knows, that are hindering us? There's more to this love. because we are called to serve him in obedience. The service to God comes first and foremost. If we are not doing what's pleasing to him, we're not obeying him, then everything else is in vain. In 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. How many times have we treated the word of God as a burden? How many times have we ignored his word? How many times have we decided, you know what, I don't need to study today. I don't need to spend time with him. I'm good. That's not true love for the Lord. That's not true love for his word, for the way of a disciple, for the life of a disciple. When we look at the early church back in Acts 2, they were dedicated. They stood steadfast in the doctrines of the apostles. They dedicated time to fellowship. They dedicated time to worship. They even went a step further in selling possessions to provide for the people what they needed, for the brethren what they needed. I mean, they were fully dedicated. Christ was the center. Even when great persecution arose, did they stop preaching Christ when they ran? No, wherever they ran to, they continued preaching, they continued worshiping, they continued living for Christ. I often think about these people who were of the early church, how much pressure they were under, just like we are kind of under, except they were facing more than what we are today, especially in the United States. They had to hold jobs to provide for families. I'm sure they were exhausted by the end of the day. But they still showed. They still were dedicated to Christ. I think about Paul. There is at one point he did not want to become a problem for the church. He didn't want to take money from a young, developing congregation. So what did he do on the side? He worked. He was a tent maker. But I guarantee you, through those opportunities, when people would come, he would preach Christ. He would tell them about Christ. That's who Paul was. That's who Peter was. That's who everyone, all the followers, all the apostles and disciples were. Every opportunity they had, they were seeking to show Christ. When we look in James chapter 2, once again, we know this chapter is dealing with faith and works. But in verse 14, there in James chapter 2, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Once again, along with faith, faith alone is not right. It's false. We must have something to back up that true faith of ours. Action. Not simply professing. And it's the same thing with the love that we profess for God. Can we prove it? Can we show it? Do we show it in our daily lives? You know, it's true. With people, it's not just through preaching and teaching that people come to Christ. But when they see Christians living that life, your life can bring people to Christ. It's an amazing thing. When people see a true Christian walking and living the life that they profess to live, it's a powerful testimony. It's a powerful tool. So I always say we are a walking, talking billboard for Christ when we proclaim to be disciples. Are we doing that? James chapter 1, going back a chapter to verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, but God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full, full grown brings forth death. A true disciple will stand tall, will stand firm in moments of trial, temptations. When these temptations come our way, when these desires, these sinful desires come our way, we cast them off. We know better. We no longer want it. Now, of course, we're not going to be sinless. We're not going to be perfect. But once again, if our love for God is strong and He's the center of our life, we will push through, leaning on Him and His power, and find our reward. When a slave is obedient to their master, they will do everything that the master says to do. And there was slavery in the time of the New Testament, and a lot of these slaves would remain faithful to their masters, the good ones, the masters who provided, the masters who gave them homes, who took care of their families. These slaves would go as far as to be pierced, marked, that this is my master, in whom I will be faithful to the rest of my life. In the same way, as a disciple, we have been marked. When we come to Christ and have given our life to Christ and have been baptized for remission of sins, we have been marked. We belong to our master, Jesus Christ. Are we to live any other way? No. Paul tells the Romans in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. What does that word conform mean? Be like this world. Be a part of this world. We are called to be different. We are called to be different. Once again, Christ is the center of our life. Nothing else matters. Christ is who we live for while we're here. You know what our purpose is. As a disciple knows what the will of God is for us. What our purpose is here on this earth is to worship Him, to live for Him, to go out and to reach lost souls. Once again, this is our purpose. Sadly, many sing the song, "This world is not my home." My question is, do you truly believe that? Well, a true disciple, absolutely he believes. And he lives in such a way to prove that. The world is not worth our souls. Living for the world, pursuing things in the world, it's not worth it. One of these days, this place and everything in it will be wiped away, burned with fire. Everything that we owned will be gone. Why hold on to temporary things when we can be when we could be looking towards eternity? As Christ would teach, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth and rust can destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. In James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And let me tell you, I wouldn't want to be an enemy of God. Yet many are, sadly. As Paul would say with tears, there are many, as I speak, who are enemies of the cross, who have chosen to go back into the world and to serve the world and not serve the one and true Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the promised Messiah, who choose to lose their souls over worldly gain. The young rich ruler who would come to Christ, what do I need to do to be yours? What do I need to do to become a disciple, a follower of yours? Well, Christ tells him, you must know the Ten Commandments. You must follow and know them. Well, of course I've done that. But what did Christ tell him? Go and take all that you have. Get rid of it and come follow me. We see this rich young ruler walk away sorrowful. And I'm sure it broke Christ's heart as well. But he chose worldly gain over Christ, who gave true life, who gave eternal life. going on in the same chapter of James, James chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So many walk around with this ego, this pride. And they see nothing wrong with how they're living. As long as I pay my taxes, as long as I take care of my family and treat people with kindness and love, I'm good. Christ will accept me. Well, the truth is, no, he won't. I know so many who are amazing people who give the shirts off their backs, who proclaim to be disciples, but truly they are not, because they do not obey the truth. And it's a terrible thing. You know, of course, everyone has heard by now, Phil Robertson, the guy from Duck Dynasty, the one that created the duck calls. You know, I love the show Duck Dynasty. And yes, he did preach baptism for the remission of sins. But in the later years, he started conforming to the world. He started conforming to false doctrine. And it's sad to say, he's not in a good place. Yes, he was a wonderful guy. Him and his wife did everything for many people, not just through Louisiana, but throughout the country. Once again, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Understand, if you are not obeying the truth, if you are not a true disciple, you're not going to receive eternal life. You're not going to receive the rewards that are promised to those who are faithful. Humble yourself and understand, I am a sinner. Paul even called himself the chief of sinners. Paul understood, I don't deserve what Christ did for me, never will. But because of his grace, because of God's mercy, he sent his only son down here to die for each and every one of us, that we might be saved. We have a choice. We can choose to come to Christ in truth and to obey him, or we can choose to reject him. Once again, true disciples put Christ at the center of their life, and they never look back. They continue forward. Their love for the Lord burns bright, and you can tell not only through words, but through their deeds, through their actions. So if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not a disciple, now's the time. Understanding that if you are in sin, if you have not obeyed what God has called us to do, you're not a Christian. Do not allow your soul to be cast into hell for eternity. There's nothing we can do for you once you have taken that last breath or when Christ comes back. Now's the time to make things right. Simply just being a good man, a good woman, in worldly, by the worldly standpoint, is not good enough. This is how you do it. You must believe, you must hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You must believe that word that has been preached to you, Mark 16:15-16. Then you must repent of your sins, change one's mind, change your life, put away that old self. As Christ tells people, you must deny oneself, take up his cross, and follow me. We are denying that old self when we come to repent. No longer is that who we are. Then we must confess our faith in Christ. Christ tells his followers, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But those who deny me before men, I will deny before my Father. But it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, being washed in the blood of Christ. You go into the water having your old self, your sinful self buried, and then the new self raises up, just as Christ raised from the grave. We are now walking in newness of life. Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26, 1 Peter 3:21, and so forth, so on. But it doesn't stop there either. You must remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23, that means you live according to what God has commanded us through His inspired word. That you have a prayer life, that you are doing the works of God that have been handed down to us. That we are living a life that is pleasing to Him. That is what a true disciple does. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into sin, there's still time to come forward and to renew your relationship with Christ. But you must come forth, you must confess, and you must repent. And the church is here. The church is willing to encourage you, to help you in any way that you need. Don't wait, guys. There's no time for you. So if you're here this morning and you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.